Turn to your neighbor and look at him and ask him, say, what do you need from God tonight? Look at him again and tell him, nothing's too big for my God. Maybe they didn't believe you. Look at them one more time and tell them, nothing is too big for my God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk chapter 1. Going to read just one short verse of Scripture, Habakkuk chapter 1. Going to read verse 5 while you're turning there. Let me say to the trio that sang tonight, fantastic. To this choir, absolutely awesome. My, what a wonderful job they have done to help set the stage for a miracle to take place in this tabernacle tonight. Does anybody here still believe in miracles? Come on, does anybody here still believe in miracles? Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 5, a very amazing verse of Scripture. Let me read to you. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. Notice the second part of this verse. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. How many of you have your Bible on this first night of camp? Would you just wave your hand? It's on the screen. Wonderful. Let's read it out loud together, the second part of that verse, starting after the colon. Let's read it out loud together. For I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. I want to preach to you tonight from this subject, the unbelievable works of God. The unbelievable works of God. I feel Him here right now, church. Hallelujah. He's in this place right now. This is the kind of atmosphere where something that we may have thought was unbelievable or impossible could take place right here tonight. Hallelujah. Brother Timmy, step out here and pray for us, please.
Rend the heavens and come down, O God. Let a holy anointing fall upon our brother and let it flow. Let it be from the head of the church, His Majesty the Lord Jesus. Flow down from the head and cover the skirts of the garment, even to the hem. Do your work through your word. Mightily anoint your vessel. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Clap your hands to Him one more time before you're seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord forever. God bless you. You may be seated. You and I in 1998 are alive at the most significant time in the history of the world. You would absolutely have to have your head in the sand not to realize that there are major happenings taking place all around us every day. In the political world, the scientific world, the educational world, the religious world, everywhere you turn every day, something significant is happening. I am not a prophecy major, and I could not even begin to tell you what all of these things mean that are taking place around us. But I can tell you what I sense in my spirit. And in my spirit, I sense that something awesome is about to take place in the earth. There is something in my spirit that tells me that in the world of the Holy Ghost, that something is mounting up and that something is about to break loose. Something is about to explode among us. Jesus' name, apostolic, tongue-talking, one God people. Something is about to happen. Believe with all of my heart that if the signs around us mean anything, they remind us that Jesus is coming again very soon. This choir sang about it, and while they were singing, while Sister Mickey was singing, and Brother and Sister Ewing and Sister Ruby was singing, I was thinking about, Lord, I want to see You. I can't wait till the trumpet sounds. How about you? I don't know about you, but I'm anxious. I'm excited to hear the trumpet sound. The Bible said He's going to split the eastern sky. The Bible said the dead in Christ are going to rise first to meet Him in the air. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together to meet them in the air. And the Bible said, there shall we ever be with the Lord. I don't know what you're looking forward to. But honey, there's something inside of me that's saying, come Lord Jesus, I want to see You. I want to see You. I want to go to be with You. Andre Crouch wrote a song years ago. It won't be long. We're going to be leaving here. Any day now, any hour now, any minute now, any moment now, we're going to go to be with Him. Wouldn't it be awesome if Jesus would come while we're in camp meeting? Thinking one day, someone asked me, he said, Brother Cunningham, where would you like to be when the Lord comes? And I thought about it, Brother Tenney, and I thought, if I could be right in the middle of a red hot anointed sermon, if I could be right in the middle of preaching, I know the Bible said there's going to be two in the field, one taken, one left behind. Two are going to be sleeping in the bed, one taken, one left behind. But I'd like to be right up on the platform in the middle of a red hot anointed sermon. I'd like to be right in the middle of shouting and worshiping God. I'd like to have one foot already off the ground when the trumpet sounds. Honey, I want to go. I want to be with Him. I want to be ready when He comes again. But until He comes, until that trumpet sounds, you and I need to understand that as this dispensation comes to a close, we can expect to see more of the manifestation and power of the Almighty God among us than the church has ever known heretofore. Every now and then I hear people saying, oh, Brother Cunningham, the church is in trouble. Let me tell you something. This church isn't going down. This church isn't getting weaker. This church isn't turning its back on what's right. This church hadn't turned its back on the doctrine. There's never been a better day to be an apostolic than today. There's never been a better time to be a part of an apostolic church than today. This church has never been stronger. This church has never prayed more. This church has never gave more. This church has never evangelized more. Hallelujah. It would not be an overstatement of fact to tell you that this is the most powerful church that has ever been on the face of the earth. The church that you and I are a part of today is God's most powerful church in history. Somebody say, I believe that. And I want you to know tonight that it is the desire, it is the heartbeat of Almighty God. He wants to do miraculous things among His people. God wants to make Himself real among us. God wants to show Himself among us. When we come together, forgive me if you think I'm belittling or some way downgrading what God is all about. But I believe if God ever gets antsy, if God ever gets excited, if God ever gets nervous a little bit, if there's ever a time that God feels an anxious anticipation, I believe it's when we come to events like this, where thousands of apostolics, where thousands of Jesus' name children of God are gathered together You see, He knows. Do you hear what I'm telling you? He knows what could happen here if we would turn Him loose. God knows what He would do among us and what He could do among us if we had let Him do it. Some way, somehow, in Camp Meeting 1998, on this first night, I want to challenge you to turn loose of all of your predetermined ideas about what God can do and about what God cannot do. Hello? We literally have categories of things that we know God can do that, but we're not sure He will do this. I've come to tell you tonight, in my old rough hillbilly way, God can do anything. Nothing is impossible for my God. God can do anything. But one of the problems that we face as we are attempting and desiring to have a move of God, our modern day high tech church leadership, ministry, organization, we have a little problem. Do we really believe that God can do anything? Let me go a step further. In the places of our world where God is doing already awesome things, according to the reports that are coming back to us, let me ask you, can we believe what we're hearing that God is doing? And can we believe that if God can do it in some remote part of the earth, will that ever translate in our mind and faith to a place where we can believe that God would somehow do it here? Standing at General Conference in a circle of ministers, and a young man that used to be an evangelist who is now a home missions pastor, he come up to us just bouncing. I mean literally bouncing. He was so excited, so happy about what God was doing in his ministry and the new little church that he had planted and new souls coming in, and he began to tell us all about what God was doing. And as that man was standing there telling us about what God was doing, I noticed that the men around him were kind of grinning at him. I don't mean happy for him. I mean, they were kind of making fun of him. He was a little too excited, and his story seemed a little too far-fetched. He told about one woman whose blind eyes had been opened, and he told about another one that was paralyzed and got up out of a wheelchair and began to walk. And then he began to tell about another little girl that was severely crippled, and God healed her of that crippled condition. And I watched that man as he wanted to find somebody that would believe the report and somebody that would get excited with him. Those men just kind of patted him on the back and the top of the head like you would a little puppy dog and said, "Now just kind of get on your way. That's all good what we've heard. It's okay what we've heard." But in their hearts, even though they had heard it with their ears, in their hearts they didn't believe it. I thought to myself as I stood there, what's wrong with us that we can't believe a report about our God? That man didn't do it. God did it. I said, through foreign mission service. And those foreign missionaries walked up there one after another and told of God opening blinded eyes, of God causing the lame to walk again, that God caused the dead to be raised back to life again. They told of the number repenting, the number being baptized in Jesus' name, and the number being filled with the Holy Ghost. I was sitting beside a man that I think's a good man. He looked over at me and rather sarcastically said this. He said, "Brother Cunningham, I have a lot of problem with those foreign mission stories that are circulating around." He said, "I really just can't believe what they say is happening overseas." I looked at my friend and said, "Sir, with all due respect, you don't have a problem with foreign missions. You got a problem with God." Hello? Does anybody hear me in here tonight? I said, does anybody hear me in this place tonight? Our God can do anything. We must understand that both as a church or a collective body and as individuals who say we love God and want to live for Him and be used of Him, we must understand that we cannot be used of God effectively if we lack faith in God. Hello? Hello? When that group of preachers was patting that boy on the head while he was talking about the paralyzed getting up, and he was talking about those being healed in his little home missions church, I don't mind telling you that something began to turn and stir inside of me. I grabbed that home missionary around the neck and pulled him close to me, and I said loud enough for everybody to hear it, I said, "I want you to know I believe your report. I believe everything you're saying, because I know we serve a God that can do anything, that nothing is impossible for Him. There's no mountain too big. There's no sickness too serious. There's no problem that my God can't solve. I believe Him." A thing happened to me, Brother Teddy, when I was 12 years old that'll make me believe God for the rest of my life. When I was 12 years old, living in West Virginia, over in the hills, we went climbing mountains, climbing rock faces, a bunch of boys from the church. And at 12 years old, I fell about 40 feet. And when I fell on a sharp rock. And the sharpness of that rock hit me right below my left knee and cut my leg, Brother Teddy, completely off. My left leg, other than about 1 inch of flesh in the back, was cut off. It cut through the ligaments. It cut through the growing tendons. It cut through the bone, a clean cut. It cut through the meat and the muscle. It was just hanging there. They rushed me to the hospital. My mama was called in. Y'all don't know my mama, but my mama knows how to talk to God. Her. Same doctor that delivered me was standing there. Old Dr. Stark, he had been my grandfather's doctor. He delivered Billy Cole when he was born. He delivered my mother when she was born. He delivered me when I was born. Hello? And that old Jew with those half glasses standing there looking at my mother and looking down at me in the emergency room, I'll never forget it. He told her, "Hilda, we're going to have to take that leg the rest of the way off." She said, "You're not cutting off my boy's leg." He said, "It's already cut off. We just need to loosen that one place there and remove the leg." She said, "You're not taking my boy's leg off." And my mama looked at him and said, "Sir, I want you to put his leg back together." He said, "Hilda, we can clamp the bone together. We can suture those growing tendons together. We can put the ligaments and the muscle together." But he said, "It won't live and it won't grow." She said, "Dr. Stark, let me tell you something. I'm not asking you to make it live. I'm not asking you to make it grow. You just put it back together and God is going to do the rest of it." you know that's one of the best legs you've ever seen in your life? It carries around 350 and none of your business pounds every day in the world. Why? Because what the doctor said was impossible. God said, give me a chance. Oh, hallelujah. My old praying mama, she didn't care who believed it or who did it. She had faith in a God that was able. Somebody shout, I believe God. You know what we need in the United Pentecostal Church? We need to quit worrying about our reputation. We need to get rid of this nasty pride that dictates how we do ministry. I lined up a bunch of people to pray for them one night, about 10 of them right across the front. I went down the line laying my hands on them praying for them. And a fella come up to me after church and said, I'd never do that. So what do you mean you'd never do that? He said, call them out publicly. Every eye in the building watching. Everybody trying to see if they're healed. He said, I'd never do that. I said, why not? He said, what if one of them didn't get healed? I said, what if 9 out of 10 of them don't get healed? I'm not the healer. He doesn't ask me to heal anybody. He's never made it my responsibility to heal anybody. All he's ever asked me to do is to put my faith in him and give him a chance to do the healing. Somebody shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. We need a reckless spirit to get a hold of us. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about standard. I'm not talking about organization. I'm talking about faith. It's time for some of us to shake off all of those bands that have had us bound, those bands of unbelief, and start saying, if God wants to do it, I'm going to give him an opportunity. To believe the unbelievable. Hello? It's time to look forward and give God opportunity to do what has seemed to be impossible heretofore. God's not going to leave you out on a limb. Anybody here believe that? Sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. They told Daniel, you can't pray. He said, I've got to pray. 3 times a day he prayed, and those wicked men that were around him, his peers, caused there to be a decree that anybody that prayed would go into a den of hungry lions. And the Bible tells us that King Darius, he didn't want to do it, but he had to honor the law. He put Daniel in a lion's den, left him there all night long. The king didn't sleep. He was worried about what's happening to this godly man. And in the 6th chapter of Daniel, King Darius comes to the lion's den early in the morning and calls out to Daniel. Hear what the question is, church. He said, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, is he able to deliver you from this den of lions? It's impossible. There's no way a human being of their own ability and strength could last a nighttime in a den with hungry lions. There's no way you could keep from being devoured when the door is open and you're thrown in to that situation. Humanity writes you off and said, this is it. This is the end. This is where we go down. This is where we lose out. But Darius knew that Daniel knew a God. And he said, there's something I want to know about this God of yours is thy God, whom thou servest continually. Is he able to deliver thee from the lions? Listen what Daniel said. Daniel answered and said, O king, live forever. My God has sent an angel and has shut the lion's mouth. You know what? There are some of you that have come to Camp Meeting 98, and back at home, there's a den of lions. Hello? Back at home, there's a situation you don't have any control over. Back at home, there's a problem or a circumstance that in your heart, there's fear that this may be it. This is the one that's going to destroy me. This is the one that's going to be the end of me. I've come to tell this camp meeting on this first night, we serve a God that can shut the mouth of the lions every time. Daniel said, God sent an angel. Hello? He said, God has sent an angel. I believe. Now, I don't want to be written off on this first night of camp meeting. But I believe that God still dispatches angels to watch over his children. Isn't it absolutely amazing that many of our own people don't believe in angels? But those same ones that don't believe in angels believe in devils. Now that's strange to me. It's amazing to me, Sister Timmy, that you can see all the devils you want to see. Just don't tell somebody you saw an angel. Because when you tell someone, I saw an angel, they want to call for the fellows with the white coats to come running. Cunningham's lost his mind. He's seeing angels now. Hello? You can get up in this very pulpit and say, I was in my room last night and a darkness filled the room, and the baddest, ugliest, meanest, most evil spirit you ever seen in your life come in that room, and everybody in the building starts doing this. Oh, I know what you're talking about. He was over at my house last week. I've run into him before. Stand in this same pulpit and say, I was praying in the chapel. I was in there talking to God. And all of a sudden the room lit up. And standing in all four corners was 10 foot tall angels of the Lord. We got Bible for seeing angels, honey. The Bible said God has given an innumerable amount of angels charge over you. Brother Timmy, ask you the question. When you come on the campground tonight, did you see the new building that was built? Did anybody see the landscaping that was done out here? Did anybody see the new road that's paved around here? How about it? Anybody see the pavilion that's been put up over there? I want to ask you a question. When you come on the campground tonight, did you see the angels of the Lord that are encamped around this place that were waiting for you and I to get here? My God, my God, my God, my God, were three archangels. There was Lucifer the worshiper. There was Gabriel. And then there was Michael. And the Bible said Gabriel's heart became full of pride. And he allowed himself to become exalted. And he thought within his own mind and heart that he could somehow be equal with God. And because of the pride in his heart, the Bible said that God thrust Lucifer and one third of the angels out of heaven. And I present to you that that's what makes up the demonic kingdom in the earth today. It's Lucifer and one third. Everybody said one out of three. Everybody said one out of three. Lucifer and one out of three of the angelic host is what makes up Lucifer's kingdom today. You see demons, that's all right. But let me tell you that for every little short, sawed off, ugly, no good for nothing, jellyfish, fine, lump of dirt angel that's become a devil that's walking around, when it comes to hassle you, you need to understand that there are two great, big, majestic angels of the Lord that's on your side. Daniel, did the lions get you? No. God sent an angel. Let me tell you, United Pentecostal Church, on this first night of camp meeting, God's power knows no limits. Knows no limits. The only thing that ever has and the only thing that ever will limit the miraculous is your and my ability to believe. He said, according to your faith, so be it unto you. Your faith is going to determine what kind of move of God we're going to have. On this first night of camp meeting, hear me when I tell you, on this first night of camp meeting, I wonder what would happen throughout the remainder of this week. How many would get the Holy Ghost on Thursday? How many wheelchairs could be hung around this place? How many crutches could be thrown away? How many people that have sickness and disease in their body could find a great healing touch from God in this place? If on this first night, you and I would determine that we're going to believe the unbelievable. If you and I would determine tonight that if God can do it in Ethiopia, we're going to give Him a chance to do it in Tioga. If God can do it in Pakistan, He's the same God in Tioga. Somebody shout, I believe it. Father of that demoniac boy said, Lord, oft times he cast himself in the fire and into the water, and he grinds at his teeth. And then he said, Lord, if thou canst do anything, help my son. Daddy was right in coming to Jesus, but he was wrong in his concepts. He used two words that we ought not to ever use with God. First of all, he said, Lord, if. Honey, there, forgive this bad English, but there ain't no ifs with God. There are no ifs with God. When we talk to Him, it's not if you can heal. It's not if you can deliver. It's not if you can make well. It's not if you can fill. It's not if you can bring that which was broken back together. There are no ifs with God. And he said, Lord, if thou canst. That word can't means able. He said, Lord, if you are able. There is no questioning the ability of God. The God that created the sun and the moon and the stars and set them in their perfect orbit. The God that created the very dust of the earth. The God that created the oceans and the forests. And God that created the fields and the birds and the animals that are in the field. The same God that reached down into the dust of the earth and created Adam and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And Adam became a living creature. I want you to He tells that father, Father, here's how simple it is. And I want to say this to somebody that's come here tonight hurting. I got a feeling the Holy Ghost is fixing to do a work among us. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here? Wave your hand if you feel the Holy Ghost. God is fixing to do a sovereign work among us here tonight. But I want to tell you what Jesus told that daddy. It's not a matter. He said, if thou canst do anything, heal my son. But Jesus looked back at him and said, sir, if thou canst believe. He turned the tables. He put it back on daddy. There's no ifs with me. The if is with you. And there's no question of my ability. The question is your ability to believe. And he said, Daddy, it's this simple. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Somebody has walked into this tabernacle tonight, and your back is against the wall. A lawyer, a doctor, a family member, maybe even a fellow Christian. Somebody has convinced you you're up against an impossible situation. Maybe this is something that's happened to you again and again. It may be in your home or your finances or your marriage. It may be in your own physical body, or maybe it's a spiritual attack, but you're feeling like it's impossible. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you can believe God for what's been unbelievable, if you can believe God tonight for the impossible, all things are possible to them that believe. You don't have to have a whole lot of faith. Jesus said, if you'll have faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain, be thou removed into yonder sea, and it shall be removed. You don't need a lot of faith. I feel faith growing in this place right now. I feel faith churning in the heart of some saint of God here right now. You come in here looking up to see bottom. Preacher, you come in here wondering, does God even know where you are? Sick person, you come in here and you're so tired of being sick. You're so tired of fighting with those physical battles. And you're wondering, does God even know where I'm at? I've come to preach to you tonight. If you'll put your faith in God, God is about to do the miraculous among us. Stand with me, will you? I've got other things to say, but the Holy Ghost is done. Hallelujah. Are all
ready to pray for people? Are they here?
All of the chaplains that have been designated to pray for folks, would you come and stand right across the front of this altar and face this audience? Every chaplain that's been designated to pray the prayer of faith, I want you to come out of where you are and stand right in front of this altar facing the audience. Hallelujah. In the book of Jude, it says, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. While these chaplains are assembling, I want everybody in this building to raise your hands. I don't care how long it's been since you plugged in, but plug in right now and start praying in the Holy Ghost. Start praying in the Holy Ghost all over this building. Hallelujah. Come on, from the depth of your heart, church, all through the balcony, all over this main floor, plug into what God's fixing to do here. While everybody continues to pray in the Holy Ghost, if you need a miracle, I want you to step out in the aisle. If you need a miracle, if you're up against an impossible situation, I want you to step out into the aisle. I want you men to go down the aisles. Come on, go down the aisles. Preachers of You preachers that are local pastors, help us, will you? If there's a preacher sitting in a section, step out in the aisle if you need a miracle. And you preachers, find somebody to pray the prayer of faith over. All of you that are here that are preachers, would you go down these aisles? Somebody go into the balcony. God's fixing to do miracles here tonight. Somebody needs to throw down the crutches. Somebody needs to throw down the cane. Somebody needs to take a big deep breath. Asthma has caused you to suffer too long now. Come on, husband and wife, step out in the aisle. Let God fix that marriage. You preachers, force your way down the aisle. You preachers, force your way through the crowd. Lay hands on every person you can. Some of you preachers that are sitting in the audience, would you move towards somebody that needs a miracle? Lay your hand on them and pray the prayer of faith. That's it. I don't care if you gotta walk the pews. Somebody find these people that need prayer. Come on, preacher, step out of where you are and lay hands on them and pray the prayer of faith. God's doing miracles here right now. Yeah, that's it. Receive it.